Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, everybody, before we get started, if you are new to Backseat Rider and you don't currently use the Lyft app to get around, just want to quickly make you aware of my promo code. Lyft, FYI, is not a sponsor of this podcast, has nothing to do with the content you're about to hear, but every Lyft driver gets a promo code, and I am no exception to that. My code is Backseat Rider, just all one word, just the name of this podcast, Backseat Rider. And if you punch it in when you sign up for Lyft, it is good for up to $50 in free ride credit. And if you use it, it also helps me out a lot. Also, before we get to the show, to another company who is a sponsor of Backseat Rider, and that is TrueCar. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody when all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Sure, I've seen a number of things I wasn't supposed to see.
I've read, like, a really long series of troubling text messages on accident.
I did see once a girl being run over by a car, and I was really, really, really scared and did something real stupid.
It's like, I wasn't supposed to see that.
What did the text say?
I went with a high-risk, high-reward thought starter this week.
Question of the week is, have you ever in your life seen anything that you were not supposed to see?
High-risk because that question practically begs the passenger to immediately go into sensitive territory, which can easily backfire, like it did right here.
So have you?
Yes, I have.
Would you be willing to share the story?
No.
Okay, no problem.
But at the same time, it's high reward because those passengers that did choose to respond really got candid.
I think it was the beginning of a long realization for me in life that you don't know anything about anybody.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive a Lyft in Chicago, and whoever ends up in the backseat of the car becomes the cast of this show. And this week, we start on the northwest side of the city during evening rush hour. It's a really cold weekday at the end of January, and a passenger pickup on a busy street in Bucktown.
Have you ever in your life seen anything that you were not supposed to see?
This guy who got in had really long hair. He had a full beard. And I could tell almost immediately that he was pretty laid back. Turns out he's a server at a popular small music venue. And that evening, he was on his way to work.
Sure, I've seen a number of things I wasn't supposed to see various times. Probably the earliest memory you just jogged in my mind is being a little youngster and going into my mother's bedroom and seeing her in an act of copulation with her then boyfriend.
No.
I don't think they wanted me to see that, you know, saw a little bit. Story behind it, I don't know. I was a kid looking for something, right? I wasn't really looking for that.
How old were you?
Probably around about 8.
8 years old. So what mark did that leave? Like, what was the... I mean, obviously, you're this much older and you remember it happening. How, was it traumatic? Like, what was the impact of an experience like that? I was fortunate enough to go through childhood I never walked in on.
What impact did it leave? I don't know. Maybe it set into place a whole Freudian, Shakespearean, ancient Greek, Oedipal complex or something like that.
You think it did?
Not necessarily, but it's possible. You know, I do have a thing for the daddy baby girl, ways with fetishy relationships. Did that start that? Probably not, but there's, we could speculate.
Right, right. Interesting. So, did your mom ever say anything about it? Like, was it a freak out moment, or was it kind of like, oh shit, and then you just like left?
I don't think there was any follow up talk. I left and that was pretty much it. I had to sort through that on my own. How's it going?
How's it going?
It's good.
Excuse me. Linda.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
As you heard right there, another passenger got in. This is a Lyft line ride, and I didn't want to freak her out, so I just left it there.
Have you ever seen anything that you were not supposed to see?
Let me think.
Yeah. You could
take this is a 28-year-old grad student. She's in the U.S. from Mongolia, and she's working toward a degree in teaching and community organizing. That evening, she needed a ride to class from Rogers Park. And what came to mind for her after the question happened on a city bus back home in Mongolia.
I think I saw somebody who was stealing someone's purse from the pocket.
Where did that happen?
In the bus, but it was back in my home country.
It happened in Mongolia?
Yeah. And sometimes this kind of, stealing things happens like in the bus, because the bus is very crowded.
Right.
Usually.
What city was it in?
It's the capital city of Ulaanbaatar. Ulaanbaatar city.
Ulaanbaatar?
Yeah.
And how many people are in Ulaanbaatar?
Around 1.5 million.
Okay. Yeah. And so, describe what you saw. You were riding on the bus?
Yeah. So I was standing there, and there were many people surrounded by, maybe there was like 4 or 5 group of people who are like strangers, and they were trying to steal someone's purse, like on purpose. So I saw them and I couldn't tell the person, the purse's owner, you know. So
why couldn't you tell the person?
I was scared of the stealers.
Right.
Yeah.
A conscious decision to not try to play the hero.
Because if I, when I get off the bus, somebody might follow me, you know, from the stealers. One of the stealers might follow me.
The woman from Mongolia wasn't the only one who answered this question with a story about witnessing a crime.
I did see once a girl being run over by a car, and I was really, really, really scared and did something real stupid. I followed the, because I was in the car, and I followed the woman. I called 911, and then I followed the woman to get the license plate, and I tried talking to her like, you just hit somebody, you need to go back and talk to them, and she just kept refusing.
This woman is in her early 30s, and she immigrated here from Mexico, started out as an au pair, and now works as a behavioral therapist. And the hit and run that she witnessed happened in Mexico, in the city of Guadalajara.
The woman was walking kind of like on a highway kind of thing, but the woman was definitely speeding, and she just ran over, and I saw this woman just do like a flip on the air and fall flat on the ground.
Was she moving afterwards?
I don't know, because I was kind of driving behind her. So I kind of saw it and kind of pushed her to the side. So my first instinct was, and I saw her just going. So it was like, I need to call 1911. And two, I need to follow this woman to get some kind of, I don't know. I found it really, really upsetting. And I was really, something took over me. I was like, this is not okay. So I got the license plate, I got the woman's name. I mean, I don't know if she was telling me the truth or not. But I got the license plate, car, address. Like, I follow her to her home. Which I honestly, because I'm not even from Guadalajara. I was just, like, it was like 6 months that I was living in there. So I had no idea where I was. But it was kind of like an out-of-body of experience. And then, of course, I got yelled by everyone that, you know, that was a really stupid thing for you to do. Like,
I don't,
you put yourself at risk.
I commend you. I mean, maybe if you're, you know, like chasing down a violent offender, but I really commend you, because you were following, like, in the heat of the moment, you followed what was morally right to do, which many people don't.
I was pissed. I don't know if it was just the shock of it. It was, I don't know, I don't even think I had control. I mean, I did have control, but, like, for driving, I remember it's like, oh my god, like, I was just, like, totally, I mean, usually try to drive carefully, but I was on this woman's ass, like, right behind her, cutting her off. Not being a safe driver, for sure. But no, it was an interesting feeling.
She probably went to jail, I'm guessing, if the laws are similar down there as here, because having been in the news for so long, I know there's a way stiffer penalty for a hit and run.
Oh, yeah.
Than there is for an accidental.
Yeah.
You know, like if she had stopped
And followed and
called an ambulance for, you know, and exhibited empathy.
Yeah.
Then maybe you walk away from a ticket with a ticket, and it's a bad accident. And
right. Because again, it was on the highway, so it was more like the woman walking on the highway's fault. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you.
So how did that experience? What lesson did you learn from that experience?
I don't know. That's something that I'm still trying to peel out. I don't know. I guess, you know, things that are just unfair are just really bothersome to me. I guess for sure, like, just be a little bit mindful of, like, my own safety, because again, like, I wasn't being a safe driver, which is kind of ironic because I was following someone who was not a safe driver. I don't know. That's someone that, that's something that still I'm still trying to peel out.
Let me ask you this. Would you do it again in the same situation? Would you do it again? Hi.
Right there, once again, another Lyft line passenger got in the car, and the second passenger didn't want to go on tape, but did share a story. She answered the question just kind of privately and told us this story about witnessing her high school boyfriend's father beat him up in this drunken rage. It was pretty disturbing. Left both of us kind of in shock. And she did wind up getting out a few minutes later, and the hit and run witness and I were once again by ourselves. And so back to her story. Turns out the victim of that hit and run survived, and there was a little epilogue to the story.
One of my friends then took few months later took me, like, she's all about like spirituality and whatnot. So she took me to her psychic, I guess. And I just kind of did it for fun. And she was like, do you know a woman named blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I have no idea. And I was like, why? Is like she doing like witchery on me or something? Like, what is happening? And it's like, no, like she's praying for you a lot. Like she's protecting you. Like she's really grateful. Like she, like she's trying to describing all of these different things. And I'm like, oh my God, is it going to be that woman? Wow. And my friend was like, it's totally her. Cause I'm like, how long ago? And it's like, oh, a couple months. She learned from you, and like she's really like protecting you and praying for you and sending you good vibes and all that fun stuff. And I was like, I don't know what to do, like to believe it or not, but it's kind of good to hear it.
In driving on this question, it became very clear that in this digital age that we are living in right now, we're a lot more likely to see things that we're not supposed to see on people's phones or computers. Someone's search history, a risque picture perhaps, or maybe most common, the rogue text or some kind of notification that pops up and turns out to reveal something very private.
I've read like a really long series of troubling text messages on accident.
This woman, I picked up one afternoon from the Ravenswood neighborhood, and she needed a ride down Lakeshore Drive into Old Town. Now, because of the sensitive nature of her response to the question, she asked me not to mention her age or her occupation. But the series of troubling text messages that she saw were on the phone of a very intimate acquaintance of hers.
It was on accident initially, and then I cried, but it was just all these, like, Craigslist ads. I found out that she was, like, on Craigslist, like, soliciting basically, like, just acts. And I was not supposed to see that, and that was really shocking.
This happened 3 years ago when the person she's talking about was 20 years old.
Yeah, I was navigating. We were road tripping, and I was navigating off of her phone. And then she received a message, and it was just super, I was like, what the hell? It was from Craigslist, and it was essentially like, send nudes, full body pics or whatever. And I was just like, what, from Craigslist? Why is she getting this message? And I was about to tell her like, oh, some creep messaged her. But then there was very quickly another one. And I can't even remember what it said, but it was from a different email. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I wasn't sure. I was like, maybe she was using it as a dating site. And yeah, I don't know. It was really difficult to navigate, but it did seem like it did come out that, oh, I think this is payment exchanged. I think there's... I can't tell if she's answering or if she's posting, but yeah, I really felt badly finding that too, but then very conflicted because you can't tell what is, if you're in a situation consensually or if you feel like you have no other option or yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people who have a lot of pleasures and things that they like that they wouldn't say to anybody else. And then there's other people that are in a bad way and they wouldn't say it to anybody else. So I felt kind of, I don't know.
Did you say anything right then? To this day, does this person know that you saw that stuff?
Yes, but I was a little cryptic. I think I said it later. I was like, hey, so you got a message from somebody on Craigslist I saw. It seemed really, like, kind of shady. Mm-hmm. And she just got quiet, and I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, no, it's just, like, oh, that guy's probably just a creep. And she was very dismissive of it. And I genuinely, yeah.
Should I go right?
Just straight. It's right. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, I'll go in that side entrance.
Got it.
But, yeah, I really, honestly, I kind of am finding that I blocked a lot of it out beyond, okay, you're okay, you could tell me anything, I don't judge you. Just here, I'm just going to vomit out some safety tips so that you can hear them and have them. And was just like, call 911, and if you're ever in danger and you don't feel like you're safe, order a pizza. They'll know to come get you, and they'll just check out your address, and here I will come anytime. Like, you can call, and I won't judge you. But if you're having fun, great. If you ever feel like you want to text me an address of where you're going to be, I'd love to have that. Like, and then there's been nothing since, but...
And when you say order a pizza, that'd be, like, the code she needs help. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like, you call and you go, hi, I'd like to order a pizza to this address. And then the person on the other end is like, you know, this is 911. This is not a pizza. Yes, I know. I'd like a large, blah, blah. Just continue with the order. Give them all your information. And they just listen and can have that. And usually they'll follow up and check your address.
Do the 911 people know that that's the thing?
I've heard that, and I'm honestly not positive. But that would be really dumb if a dispatcher heard that and they didn't follow up, I'd imagine, right?
Exactly. That's, like, that sounds like a smart thing. Okay. Is this person okay now?
Honestly, I think so. And I'm the more I dig in, the more I realize, like, I've been trying to steer this person to talk to professionals and, like, mental health, and, like, more and more is coming out that I think there's sexual abuse in her past that I didn't know about, and there's like a lot that she's not dealing with, and I'm trying to encourage her to get help, all the while not trying to project crazy on her. Maybe that's not crazy. Maybe this is her happy existence. But more is coming out that I think she doesn't have a proper handle on what being treated well looks like. But I don't know. I don't know what to do is the thing. But I did see it, and that is the truth. I think it was the beginning of a long realization for me in life that you don't know anything about anybody, and you can't judge or expect to know that. And I always thought that I was someone who could be confided in, or someone who we talked about these things. And then it was just like, oh wow, like, this is a pretty major part of your life, and I wonder if you have anyone to talk to if it's not me. Not in, like, a narcissist, like, who do you possibly talk to? But I just was concerned if she had an outlet or was able to process in a healthy way what she was going through, if it was by choice or if it was, like, an outlet to get attention, or if it was, like, in any way healthy. So I got very concerned, and then also just realized, and then there were other instances where it's like, oh man, I found out that I'd been buying people's illusions of what they've been serving me of, like, this is who I am, which to many extents is who they are, but it was like, oh wow, there's still so many things that you don't know about anyone.
Coming up, another not supposed to see moment turns into a decades-old secret.
And I do remember, seeing my dad push my mom down the stairs. And that's, like, something that has stuck in my brain.
That conversation is just ahead. But first, I need to pause for a quick moment to tell you about one of the sponsors making it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free in 2018, and that is Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture, give us a listen and subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
When you see something that you are not supposed to see, the result can oftentimes be finding yourself in a moral bind that you did not sign up for, even when you're only 16 years old.
My best friend, she's with this guy, and I was also friends with this other girl. We were pretty cool, and she were texting her boyfriend. I saw it on her phone.
This guy is 21, and he works as a waiter at a restaurant at one of Chicago's airports. I picked him up one afternoon from his house on the south side for a ride to work. So that day he was in his work clothes, black pants, black shirt, black tie. And here he is describing a moment sophomore year in high school when he found out that one of his best friends, who's a girl, was being cheated on by her boyfriend with another one of his female friends.
When I was on her phone, the message had came.
Got it. So you knew
and he,
that...
Yeah, and he had a picture, like, on the... You know, iPhones, you can have a profile picture for the contact. His picture was right there. So that's how I knew it was him.
So you knew he was going to go over to that girl's house, hook up with her
Yeah. Behind
your other friend.
Yeah, so I actually told her. It took me... I waited to tell her, though, because I was like, I don't want to feel like I would be being messy. But then people was like, that's your friend, so you should tell her. But about us being young, it was like, I know people take things offensive, so should I say something or should I just not say it? I didn't know.
As soon as you see something like that, that suddenly puts you in a moral bind.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's either you stay silent and you're betraying your other friend,
mm-hmm.
but then you speak up and then you're betraying this friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell me about the decision-making process that you went through after you saw the message.
It was just like, what do I do? Like, would I be wrong? I'm like, would I be wrong if I say something? Because I know, like, us, like I said, about us being so young, people get offended, like, oh, he just on some jealous stuff, low-key just hating, just, you know, just trying to say anything. And then I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to say anything at all because she might do that. But then I'm like, no, but that's my friend. So, like, she'll be looking stupid if I just don't say anything. And I would be a bogus friend if I just let her sit there and look stupid. So I still ain't saying nothing. I got advice from, I had told my mom. And she's like, yeah, you should say something. That's your friend. Say something. I'm like, I'm going to just say something then. And that's what made me say something.
And how did your other friend, who was being left out, how did she react?
She didn't know because she didn't tell them who told her. I told her not to say nothing. I'm like, don't tell them who told her.
Got it.
So she just never said nothing. And to this day, well, I'm sure she don't think about it no more, but to this day, she still don't know, like, who told her that. I just...
How did the friend who you told, you know what I mean, who you said, hey, I saw this text message, just so you know, don't say it was me who told you, mm-hmm. me, but I just wanted to let you know I saw this. Mm-hmm. How did that girl react when she found that out?
At first, she was just like, really, like, she... It took her a minute to believe me, because she know I'm always playing and stuff, but I'm like, I'm serious, like... I'm being so serious, like, I'm not playing. I saw him texting her, and so she started believing me, and then she just started getting emotional and all type of stuff. It was just like, oh, I shouldn't have said nothing.
Did she start crying?
Yeah, she started getting emotional. I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't have said nothing, because I don't have time for this.
Did she thank you for telling her?
Yeah, she did. She was just like, you're a good friend for telling me stuff like that, because she, like, you didn't have to say nothing.
Are you still friends with her?
Uh-huh. To this day, we work together.
At the airport?
Uh-huh. We start working up together at the same time.
That's real. So, are you... So, all right. The last question is, mm-hmm. are you glad that you told her?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're still friends.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I told her, because now I feel like if I didn't tell her, she would have been stuck in a relationship, a toxic relationship, because I feel like she would have eventually found out and... It would have got further into that relationship. So then, like, once she found out, it would have been, even though she knew, it would have been harder for her to leave, because she would have been in love. Because this is, like, in the beginning of the relationship. She would have been too in love and too blind to even leave. So I'm glad I did tell her, because she would have just been in a toxic relationship.
It's a high school version of a question that many adults wind up facing in their lives. If you find out that someone you care about is being cheated on, what conditions dictate whether to speak up? Okay, the last pair of passengers that I want to introduce you to this week were in the car at the same time. This is yet another Lyft line situation, so these two are strangers. And the first one you're going to hear from is a psych student at a local college. And the second one is in her late 20s, but she got out of the car before I caught her career. So these two shared my car on a sunny afternoon on the north side of Chicago.
The first thing that comes to mind is... just like my parents arguing, right? Like, they never wanted to argue in front of us, yet they almost always did. So, and like, but at the same time, like, they would act like everything was fine.
But you knew it wasn't.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like, now being an adult, but being a little older, like, it doesn't bother me. But as a child, like, I don't think I really knew what to think of it, but I knew that what I was seeing was not, like, what I was witnessing, it was not, like, what I was supposed to do. Like, sometimes they would send me and my little brother off to go, like, watch TV, and I'd be like, yay, we can watch a movie or something, but then, like, subtly be, like, listening to them arguing upstairs. Yeah.
Do you have any images or, like, sound bites that are, like, etched in your brain?
A lot of, like, so my parents are from Ethiopia, and my mom would do a lot of, like, you brought me to this country. If it was up to me, I would not be here. And, like, that kind of stuff, like, again, especially still growing up, like, was, like, I don't think we're supposed to be here. Or, like, I feel like I hate winter because of that, too. So, like, I could have been in Ethiopia.
Were you born here, or did you...
I was born here.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Going off of what you said, I have a vivid memory of my parents fighting, but it was really bad. My parents had me when I was very young, when they were very young, and my dad kind of... didn't do things the right way.
Like how so?
He did drugs. And so when there was arguing, it would get physical. And I do remember, seeing my dad push my mom down the stairs. And that's like something that has stuck in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I think about it often. I don't really know why. But I never told my mom that I saw that happen. Like to this day, she still doesn't know that I know. Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
I was little because they were still together. So I had to have been like 3 or 4 maybe. And it, when I think about it, I'm often like, well, maybe it didn't really happen because I was so young and maybe I just made up this memory. But mm-hmm. I also think because it was kind of like a traumatizing thing that is why I do remember it. Thankfully, my dad like got his act together and now everything's good. They're separated, but he cleaned up his act and I haven't had to experience anything like that since then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's definitely...
Why haven't you told your mother?
I feel like I don't want to upset her by, like, because she tried to protect me from all of that, mm-hmm. and I just don't want her. I feel like she would be upset thinking that she didn't shelter me from that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
You're protecting her in a way
yes.
by not telling her.
Yes.
You've kind of, taken on yourself to just have this memory and kind of just deal with it internally.
Yes.
I would argue, though, your mother has been pushed down a set of stairs. Like, she's not as fragile as you think.
That's true. That's so true.
You know, like, I feel like you would probably get some sort of ease out of it if you told your mom that you knew.
Yeah.
Because if anything, it sounds like it's weighing on you. And I would assume your mother wouldn't want anything like that weighing on you.
Yeah.
Did you have siblings that noticed anything like that? Or was that the only incident like that?
That was the only thing that I remember and that I really know. I mean, we've talked about them arguing a lot, but not anything physical. Shortly after that, I know that my parents did divorce and my mom met somebody else and then married my stepdad and then they had kids and I've never witnessed anything like that between them.
So you're the, your dad who you witnessed do that is not together. When you said they're separated.
They're divorced. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And your mom has since remarried.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And so what do you feel like, was this, what do you feel like the impact of, you know, again, back to the question, was witnessing something you knew you weren't supposed to? Has been the long term, because you seem like, what, you're in your early 20s now, or late teens or something?
Late 20s.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. the impact has been of that image being in your brain.
Right, yeah. I just feel like I'm very cautious in my relationships with anybody. Like, even friendships. Like, going out and drinking with friends, if I see anyone, like, get a little crazy, I'm instantly turned off and want to, like, separate myself from that person.
Thanks for sharing. That's, those are some intense memories.
What about you?
Man, you're the first person that's turned around on me. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Let's see. What have I witnessed that I wasn't supposed to? Never walked in on my parents.
Right. Thank God.
Yeah. Right. Talk about trauma. Oh, okay. I was on vacation one time, and it was this bike trip. I was 19, and it was like this group bike trip around Montana where I was like the youngest person. It was all adults, and it was like this adventure cycling, like ride around the mountains for like a week kind of deal. And like I kind of started putting together that a lot of the adults were on the trip to meet other people, you know? And,
Wait,
so
how old were you?
I was 19.
Okay.
And, And so one time we got done with our ride and we go back to, like, we were staying at these cabins, and when I walked in the cabin, there were two of the adults that were on the trip, like, getting it on, like, on the floor of the cabin. And so I just, like, turned around and walked off. And I remember thinking, like, the woman, because you kind of get to know the people on the trip, you know. Yeah. There was, like, 70 people. And I remember thinking the woman was, like, a catch, you know. I was like,
yeah.
But I remember thinking the dude was, like, a douchebag. And I'm like, damn, you know, like, that woman's awesome. Like, is he really the guy that she's going to hook up with on this trip?
So in the back of your mind, did you think it should have been you?
Out of my age range at that point. Yeah, I was a college sophomore, so I wasn't really. And my dad was on the trip.
Oh, okay. So
I definitely wasn't in the I'm going to find someone to hook up with mindset on that one. And I'm trying to think if there's anything, nothing like too traumatic, but I'd have to think about it longer, which I now will.
And I have been thinking about this question since that passenger turned the tables on me, trying to come up with a better story of a time where I witnessed or saw something I wasn't technically supposed to see. So here's the best I can do. This happened about 15 years ago. I had taken a bike trip with my best friend. The two of us rode from Virginia Beach, Virginia, all the way to San Francisco, California one summer. It took us like 2.5 months. And what we did was we kind of improvised our route. We'd go from small town to small town. And our whole routine to find something, to find a place to sleep, was we'd go to the church. We'd get to a town and we'd go to a church and ask the pastor if we could camp on the lawn of the church. And that, I want to say that worked. Every time we tried it, the pastor would say yes, except for this one town in Illinois, actually. they said, no, go to the park, go to the park. But in West Virginia, this is probably like week two of the trip, we're in West Virginia, we roll into this small town, and the church we went to, the pastor there was this disabled man. And his wife was actually a pastor of a neighboring church who was also disabled. And they were totally fine with us camping on their backyard of the what's it called, a rectory? It's the house, the parish. They both lived together in the parish of one of the churches and said, that's fine if we camp on the back lawn. And they were nice enough to let us use the bathroom in their actual house inside the parish. And so I remember going into the bathroom, and the guy, the husband, had posted a little note to himself on the mirror, and the note said, "You are a person of value, you are a person of worth." And it was like this daily reminder. I put this together myself, but I think this was like a daily reminder to himself. And I'm not sure if it was, you know, for public view or whether he left it up there on purpose. Maybe I was supposed to see it, but I didn't feel like I was supposed to. I feel like I kind of, the curtain was kind of pulled back on this very private self-affirmation that he wrote to himself to look at every day when he looked in the mirror. And, you know, he was in a wheelchair, and I don't know if it like had to do with that, but it was just this daily reminder. You are a person of value. You are a person of worth. And it just really hit me. I actually think about that little sign all the time. Every couple of weeks, it occurs to me, because I think the reason it sticks in my mind is it was the first time that I saw something where it was like this really reminder, really vivid reminder of that cliche that, you know, we all hear dozens of times, but it's so, so true. And that is that everybody is fighting a battle you know nothing about. And I apologize, my story's not more dramatic than that. Perhaps I've blocked a lot out over the years, or maybe it's just further proof that my passengers have way more interesting lives than I do. So with that in mind, I would love to hear from anyone listening right now if you would care to take a crack at this week's question. What in your life have you seen that you knew you were not supposed to see? And you can share your answer with other listeners of this podcast in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. I'm going to start a discussion thread in there. And to find it, just search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider community and just request to join. And one of the moderators or myself will approve you. Also, before I go this week, one last reminder, Lyft is not a sponsor of this show. Again, has nothing to do with the content. But if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet and you want to help me out and support the podcast, sign up for Lyft using my promo code Backseat Rider, all one word, it's just the name of this podcast, Backseat Rider, and that is good for up to $50 in free ride credit. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin, and also thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and if you do have an iPhone, make sure that you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids. Back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.